Time now for your comments. Several listeners liked my interview with Vermont mechanic and farmer Dan MacArthur, who traveled to Cuba with a bag of spare car parts to share with ordinary Cubans. Maribel Balbin of Miami writes, "As a Cuban-American, I want to thank the farmer from Vermont and commend him for his people-to-people relationships and sharing the story. The resourcefulness and ingenuity of the Cuban people continues to amaze those that visit and have the opportunity to experience how much they do with so little." Listeners found an error in Frank DeFord's reference to a legendary Roman hero in his commentary on the Augusta National Golf Club. DeFord said the club is holding off female members like Horatio at the bridge, brandishing a one-iron. Tom Darwin writes, "That's funny, but it was Horatius at the bridge, not Horatio. Horatius was a poet, and no better with a weapon than a golf club, I should think." Juan Williams' History of Monopoly story caused fans to voice their dismay at Hasbro's official name for the board game's top hat-wearing mascot. Scott Rotterdam of New York City writes, "Mr. Monopoly, Mr. Monopoly, you might as well call Elsie the cow Ms. Borden." Groups snap, crackle, and pop together as the Rice Krispies brothers, or refer to a certain dandified spokesnut as Mr. Planters instead of Mr. Peanut. Every Monopoly player this side of Baltic Avenue knows that the distinguished tycoon whose image graces the game is named Rich Uncle Pennybags. Sorry, Bob, do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Editors at Morning Edition anticipated that some listeners might have a problem with word usage in Susan Stamberg's interview on the Texas School Book Depository's Sixth Floor Museum, and they did. Molly Lakenhays from Phoenix, Arizona, was one of them.
I'm not a conspiracy nut, but it was introduced that Lee Harvey Oswald was the assassin of President John F. Kennedy. And my understanding is that that's not accurate. He's the alleged sniper. He is the accused assassin. But as far as I know, he was never tried for that crime. So, thanks.
Renee Montaigne's interview with UC Berkeley Carolinist Jeff Davis brought back fond college campus memories for listeners all over the country. A man from Benicia, California, attended the University of Nebraska at Lincoln when someone from the music department would hold a short concert every Sunday in the university bell tower. But it seems one musician got into trouble. Bob Bowler writes, "At the conclusion of one Sunday's concert, the performer found himself locked in the tower. Since there is no telephone in the tower, he was unable to contact anyone about his predicament. So he used the only method available to contact the outside world. He began playing, 'Oh dear, what can the matter be?' over and over until someone finally noticed and came and rescued him." Josh Garcia in Hollywood, California, was happy to hear Elizabeth Blair's story on Tori Amos. He writes, "It let me know that Morning Edition is not all geared to middle-aged esoteric types. Thank you for reaching out and connecting with me, a 21-year-old student and graphic designer." Send your comments to morning@npr.org or call the listener comment line at 202-842-5044. Please say where you live and how to pronounce your name.